Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. on the drum Blackstone off their Canyon Records CD On the Oregon Trail. The name of that song, The New Era. I chose that powwow song in order to express Yad Kiddushin Native Center's hopes and prayers for a new era in our planet's history, an era of peace, justice, and well-being for all life. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Today's broadcast is Program 4 of Wolf Mountain Radio's Smart Meme Story Interview Series. This special series features conversations with very fine student and youth activists who are dedicated to creating a better world. In today's program, we focus on a very special organization, Smart Meme, and its youth leadership program, STORY, Strategy, Training, and Organizing Resources for Youth. Yad Kiddushin Native Center is an intertribal, cultural, environmental, social justice, and news media organization, is dedicated to promoting a global culture of peace, justice, and ecological health for all life. This vision is at the core of all of Yad Kiddushin Native Center's programs and projects. One major emphasis of our work is mentoring and encouraging youth, our future generation, to empower themselves to work for a better world. We do this by networking with various student and youth movements involved with cultural, social, racial, economic, environmental peace, justice, and anti-globalization issues. One example of Yad Kiddushin Native Center's support of youth is our journalism project, Communications for Community Activists, which trains young activists in messaging and media skills. Messaging, media, and campaign promotion skills are essential for getting one's voice heard. This is the case for many communities and concerns that have often been unnoticed in society or not reported on by the mainstream press. Communications is especially important when fighting for justice. As example, when government or industry actions threaten the well-being of a community and our Mother Earth. Another organization that shares this mission is Smart Meme. Smart Meme is a national holistic strategy project that links storytelling and social change to strengthen grassroots community groups. Smart Meme, like Yad Kiddushin Native Center, believes in the power of organizing through the power of memes, which are ways of expression of a community's narrative. Narrative is another term for storytelling, a way of giving voice, a way of expression. Story is a lens through which we process information we encounter. Cultural, emotional, experiential, political. It is the way a person or community can portray themselves or how others view them. Memes are bits of cultural information that tell our stories. They are a way of communicating a culture's history and wisdoms, current situations, and vision for the future. Depending on who tells or how a narrative is told, that story could unite or divide people, obscure certain issues, or spotlight others. A story can inform and enlighten, or it can also be used to deceive, mislead, cover up, or falsify the truth. Understanding communications, analyzing and examining messaging, which has so much influence in the state of the world, especially now in the information age of the 21st century, is a critical necessity if we are to create a global culture of peace and justice. A good example are the numerous public relations campaigns by business and industry that should really be called public deception campaigns. Smart Meme, like Yad Kiddushin Native Center, has supported a range of grassroots issues by providing strategy organizing to various activist groups around North America. Yad Kiddushin Native Center over the years has had the honor to partner with Smart Meme at several of these events. One very special gathering was Smart Meme's national training known as Insight. Inside Insight was a 3-day training retreat focused on organizing, strategy, storytelling, and reflection. It was a space for youth to plan and strengthen their activism. I was invited to be one of several elders to share experience and promote intergenerational and cross-cultural learning. Smart Memes 3-Day Insight Storytelling, Movement Building, and Creating a Cultural Strategy Training was held in the traditional homeland of the Penacook Indian Nation in what is now present-day central and southern New Hampshire. This northeast woodland Merrimack River watershed is a beautiful area of forest, hills, lakes, and ponds, very similar to my neighboring Wabanaki tribal territory. The conference site, Owl's Nest Lodge on Bradley Lake, is in the shadow of Gawasiwajo, Windfall Mountain known as Mount Kearsarge. Gawasiwajo is a place I know well due to the nearby Mount Kearsarge Indian Museum, where for a time I often lecture to visitors on the culture history of Northeast Woodland Indigenous peoples. Smart Meme Strategy and Training Project was founded to support struggles for justice, peace, democracy, and an ecological future. Smart Meme are people who believe in the power of ideas, the power of collective wisdom of communities, and the power of stories to change the world for the better. These are values and principles Yad Kiddushin Nehru Center believes in, and is why Yad Kiddushin Nehru Center is honored to network and support Smart Meme whenever we can. We urge all of our worldwide listeners to likewise appreciate and support Smart Meme. Morgan Phillips is a staff member of the organization Mobilization for Global Justice, MGJ. Mobilization for Global Justice fights against economic globalization, more commonly known as the international financial and commerce system that so dominates and impacts all life on Mother Earth. This is a major concern of Yad Kiddushin Nehru Center and many people throughout the world who are dedicated to cultural, social, economic, environmental justice. The focus of the anti-economic globalization movement is both governmental and private sector banking and trade policies. A primary target are financial institutions and trade agreements such as the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, North American Free Trade Agreement, Central American Free Trade Agreement, Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, among others. Another major aspect of the battle for economic justice is the role and power of what's called the private sector. This refers to the international banking finance industry, as well as multinational corporations who often in partnership with governments have tremendous power and impact over the planet. In my view, economic globalization has only benefited the wealthy elite of the world, meaning private sector, financiers, transnational corporations, and corrupt government officials. The majority of the world's people, as well as our environment, suffer and continue to pay for this economic greed. In general economic terms, the nations of the world are often labeled developed and less developed countries, wealthier nations being the developed world, poorer nations being the less developed countries. Many refer to this situation as a division between the rich nations of the North and the poverty nations of the South. Another delineation often heard are the terms first, second, and third world. Generally, first world nations are the major industrial powers, such as the United States, Canada, Europe, Australia, and Japan. Next are countries that are growing in political economic influence, such as Russia, China, India, Brazil. While these second world countries still have many poor people, nonetheless, They are industrializing rapidly and are exerting more power in global economics and trade. The third world consists of the vast majority of very poor countries of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Many of these countries of the Southern Hemisphere were former colonies of powerful European nations that continue to have major socioeconomic consequences. The historical and contemporary power of the United States over Third World nations must likewise be highlighted when considering political economic globalization. Yad Kadishi Native Centers had the privilege to be a part of the anti-globalization movement for many, many years. Many of our Wolf Mountain Radio listeners know that in the 1970s, I spent 4 years in Southeast Asia living with several different mountain tribes fighting against World Bank, International Monetary Fund, so-called development projects in forestry, mining, and hydro dams. I am very honored to have helped defeat the Philippine Chico River Dam project that threatened the indigenous mountain Kalinga people. In 1985, I traveled throughout Abiyala, the native name for Central America, as an investigative journalist focusing on indigenous peoples in so-called development. Many of my reports covered both government and multinational corporate schemes. In the 1990s, I was a consultant to Greenpeace's campaign against economic globalization, which focused on the World Bank and IMF policies and practices. This is why I consider the work of Mobilization for Global Justice so important. I am honored to have participated in a number of MGJ issue campaigns and protest actions. I am now pleased to welcome Morgan Phillips of MGJ to Wolf Mountain Radio.
My name is Morgan Phillips. I am an organizer based in Washington, D.C., with the Mobilization for Global Justice, which is an all-volunteer activist group that works on issues of global economic oppression, primarily focused at the World Bank and International Monetary Fund and the World Trade Organization, or the WTO, been around for about 5 years, organizing demonstrations and educational opportunities and outreach opportunities to link the struggles in the U.S. for economic justice with those in other parts of the world.
Well, again, in today's program introduction, on the theme of economic globalization, I briefly mentioned the major financial institutions involved in what you term global economic oppression. The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, and the trade agreements NAFTA, CAFTA, FTAA as examples of what the anti-economic globalization movement is fighting against. If I remember correctly, Mobilization for Global Justice was founded in April 2000 in order to protest a joint ministerial meeting of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. At that time, I covered the protest as a journalist. I do very well remember being there since I had just recently returned for 4 months in Central America prior to that World Bank IMF demonstration. Would you please talk about your experience with Mobilization for Global Justice? As example, CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, you and I are very concerned about.
We worked quite a bit on the Central America Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, in mobilizing the people that we work with to work with immigrant communities and labor communities. Though CAFTA was passed and is now headed towards becoming a reality, in the U.S. and Central America, the momentum and the energy and the coalitions that were built to try and stop CAFTA were unprecedented. 2 votes separated CAFTA from failing the U.S. Senate. It was pretty amazing that we made CAFTA a political issue. It wasn't a pushover in the Senate like the Bush administration had hoped would be. It's incredibly important that people throughout North America work on these issues, because, you know, the concept of an injury to one is an injury to all, and that if you know, and if you work, and even if you just know through reading your local newspaper about what's happening and how it's wrong, you can't just not say something. that just is becoming increasingly in the world we live in sort of an unacceptable thing to do. But more importantly, and something that the Mobilization for Global Justice believes in very strongly, and we focus the majority of our organizing energy on, the power structure that allows the World Bank and the IMF and the WTO to function, this idea of profit over people, and this idea of the corporate personhood, resources for profit, not for the people, is a model of economics that's emulated at levels all the way down to your local government, all the way down to the, you know, your local school boards, your local municipalities. It's emulated in all those levels by way of privatizing water, your water utilities, privatizing public hospitals. In Washington, D.C., we lost our only community hospital, which eliminated access to medical care for an entire quadrant of the city, which also happened to be the poorest quadrant of the city. Privatizing of education, of all the services that people need. In Georgia, they privatized the parole services. So now when you're paroled as an ex-felon, you then have to pay a fee to a private company who manages your parole. So these concepts that are pushed by the World Bank and IMF and WTO, privatization of services, of like having to make a profit off of everything, are emulated right there in your local cities. So people are always like, well, why should I care what the IMF is doing, what the World Bank is doing? It's like, well, it's part of a system that's directly affecting you. Even though you don't live in a country being affected by the World Bank, you are being affected by the system that they sit atop of, that they push and maintain. And that's why it's so important that we continue the resistance to them.
Guarded by soldiers and cops, so they can make all their plans and negotiations about how they're gonna stay at the top. And when they're done, they'll release a few statements about how their charity will feed the whole world, when all they really did was solidify their strategy to ravage us with exploitation and war. How can we be silent with so much at stake? Your rules were just made for the people to break. You may try to dictate the entire world's fate, but we are 6 billion and you are only 8. You say liberalized trade, yeah, it's been done before, so you can all profit off the blood of the poor. You say let market forces do that fine job, you won't take the blame for the billions you've robbed. G-A-I-M-F, W-T-O, F-T-A-A, NAFTA, World Bank, NGO, clothing in acronyms, dressing up fine. It still ain't no more than the world's greatest crime. How can we be silent with so much at stake? Laws were just made for the people to break. You may try to dictate the entire world's fate, but we are 6 billion and you are only 8. Dreams. While you fill the world out of money and greed with your armies and big companies go water the seeds of rebellion and grow strong with the weeds that erupt from below. How can we be silent with so much at stake? Your walls were just made for the people to break. You've been trying to dictate the entire world's fate, but we got 6 billion and you are only 8. You may try to dictate the entire world's fate, but we are 6 billion and you are only 8. You may try to dictate the entire world's fate, but we are 6 billion and you are only 8.
Songwriters Ethan Miller and Kate Boverman off their Riot Folk CD entitled If All the Land Would Rise. The name of that song was Only Eight, referring to the G8. The G8 is a group of 8 powerful nations that meet annually to discuss global issues of concern, such as economics, trade and development, energy and environment. The G8 summit is comprised of 8 heads of state from the industrialized nations, each nation taking a turn at hosting the G8 conference. G8 countries include the United States, England, France, Germany, Canada, Japan, Italy, and Russia. The EU, European Union, is also represented. In more recent summits, a few other countries have been invited to attend as guests. The G8 obviously has great influence over the planet in what many of us call globalization. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones. I am speaking with Miss Morrigan Phillips, who works with the fine organization Mobilization for Global Justice, MGJ. Morrigan and I have the honor to be participating at a Smart Meme Story Conference of Youth Activists from across the country who are concerned for the future well-being of our planet. Morrigan, my next question is about Indigenous peoples and global justice. This is Yat Kitishi Native Center's primary concern. It is the basis of my life's work, trying to protect Mother Earth and the well-being of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. As you know from talking together this weekend, I have focused a lot on financial institutions and international commerce's impact on Native peoples and the environment. I have seen and fought against numerous World Bank and International Monetary Fund so-called development projects in different countries, many of which directly affect tribal peoples. As far as I am concerned, the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, as well as the private sector, are largely responsible for cultural, social, economic, environmental injustice throughout the world. Indigenous people's statements, such as the Carioca Declaration, presented to the 1992 UN Conference on Environment and Development, UNCED Rio Earth Summit, and the Kimberley Declaration, presented to the United Nations World Summit on Sustainable Development in South Africa, exemplify the concerns we Indigenous peoples have about the situation of and future state of our Mother Earth. What are your thoughts about Indigenous peoples and global justice, especially World Bank and IMF impacts to Native peoples?
The work that I do, the research into the effects of World Bank IMF policies on Indigenous people, has featured really prominently, mostly because in a lot of the countries that I work with, there's support, a lot of institutional support for getting rid of the World Bank and IMF. There's also a lot of institutional racism that remained. So you have Indigenous peoples in these countries still being marginalized. And you see with World Bank projects like mines, logging projects, large dams, extractive industry stuff like oil and gas, pipelines, especially in Ecuador, the people who are displaced the most, the people who are harmed the most, are the Indigenous people. And in these same countries, there still exists very limited access for taking acts in these countries. And so mapping the effects specifically on indigenous communities throughout the global south, so Asia, Latin America, and Africa, is something that I think is incredibly important to do to maintain this focus that there's more than just displacement of people and exploitation of people happening. There's also a racial element that's happening that, one, on a larger scale, the whole system is racist. The majority of the people who are affected by these policies, negatively affected and exploited by these policies, are people of color in the Southern Hemisphere. And then within these countries, the racial dynamics are exploited even more because the most marginalized people are going to be harmed the worst. Particularly with the World Bank and IMF support of extractive industries like oil mining and gas, that most of all affects indigenous people because it's going into places that are less developed, they're still natural, people living in a more traditional life, in places of incredible natural resource and beauty, which are seen to be very profitable by the World Bank and IMF and thus could create investment and profits that could help pay down the debts of these countries and could help make foster economic development and all these buzzwords that they use. But really what happens is indigenous people are displaced. And when I was in Brazil, the World Social Forum, this last year, there was a woman from Ecuador who they had been fighting a gas pipeline coming through the Amazon of Ecuador, and they were going to be displaced. And she said to me, I'm going to fight to the death to stop this pipeline, because if it comes through, I'll die anyway. I'll just be living dead. But if I lose this land that my people have been on, I'll die anyway. So I'll fight and die if I have to stop it. And that just shook me to my core. I was so taken aback by a statement like that when she's looking me right in the eye. And I knew she meant it. And that's when it's like, there are realities behind these policies, and so getting back to why people need to maintain protest in this country, it's there are realities. There are people who will look you in the eye and tell you they're willing to die to keep their way of life because of what is happening and the injustice of it, and that's another reason to be in the streets doing this. I was in Cancun for the WTO ministerial in 2003, and a Korean farmer killed himself not far from me, stabbed himself in the heart in a ritual suicide because his life had become so meaningless under WTO trade agreement and trade rules that he had nowhere to make a living, and that land and the identity that the land and the farming is so integral to the being as a human, and his life had lost all meaning when he lost his farming, his ability to farm and make a living, that he killed himself. And so seeing all of that is just, you know, reason enough for me to keep doing what I'm doing, and I think it should be a great motivating factor for other people. Thank you.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's environmental education program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yacht Kidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yacht Kidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinowatakusin, to all of our relations.
I know, but it's so hard just to put one foot in front of the other and keep breathing. Lord knows we've been through some trying times lately. And after enduring so many setbacks, we can begin to wonder if our lives, our work, mean anything. But still, I keep believing, because we can never know exactly where we stand in history. Think of the thousands of people who spent 10 or 20 years of their lives trying to get Nelson Mandela released from prison. Some of them died, perhaps brokenhearted, without learning the happy ending to that story. And so I say, hold on. Hold on to hope with both hands. I'm going to share with you words from Dr. King that have given me the strength to carry on many times. And I hope that these words, inspired by sacred song and Unitarian philosophy, lift you up and give you the courage to keep on.
I hear you ask today, how long will it take? I hear you ask today, oh, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
Not long, because no life forever. I hear you ask today, how long will it take? I hear you ask today, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
Because you still reap what you sow. However difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, I know it won't be long, not long. Cause truth rushed to the earth. Oh, how long? I hear you ask today, how long will it take? How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
Because the arc of the moral universe is long. Yes, the arc of the moral universe is long. But it bends toward justice.
How long? Not long. How long?
Not long.
Music from singer-songwriter Ann Feeney off her most recent CD entitled Dump the Bosses Off Your Back. The name of that song was How Long. Miss Feeney is a very fine community justice activist. She travels widely, supporting many important social, economic, environmental, labor, and peace issues, and was nice enough this year to perform at Florida Gulf Coast University during a monthly meeting of our student community group, the Progressive Alliance. There I had the pleasure to interview her, which can be heard any time on Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices Archive on www.radioforall.net. The name of that special song was How Long. I like to play that tune from time to time as a reminder that working for peace, justice, and protection of Mother Earth is a lifelong process that requires steady dedication and commitment. I consider it an honor to be an Earth Justice Warrior, following in the footsteps of our ancestors, as we say in my native language, our Nitchitonganooks, as well as those justice activists that came before us. I consider it an honor to be an Earth Justice Warrior with our contemporary sisters and brothers who are working for a better world now. The folks here at the Smart Meme Story Gathering, such as today's program guest, Morgan Phillips, are great examples. I want to sincerely thank Morgan, not only for speaking with us on Wolf Mountain Radio, but for her very important work with Mobilization for Global Justice. Defending Mother Earth and the world's poor is a very important responsibility all of us need to do. Those of us who live in the wealthy nations of the North need to be in solidarity with the peoples of the Global South, the so-called Third World. It is the Global South that has been most victimized by imposed policies and practices from a powerful elite, the G8, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, international banking industry, and multinational corporations. We, as world citizens, cannot allow this unjust political economic system to continue anymore. The rape, plunder, and damage being done to our planet and the vast majority of the world's people must now end. 61 years of the World Bank International Monetary Fund is enough. In today's program introduction, I mentioned how my many years of fighting the World Bank and IMF stemmed from my 4 years of living with indigenous peoples in Southeast Asia during the 1970s. In particular, assisting the Mount Kalinga resistance against the proposed Philippine Chico River Dam project that was to be funded by the World Bank was quite an experience for me. I want to now read a statement against the dam project from Kalinga elders sent to the World Bank and then Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos. I had the honor to be the translator of this Kalinga statement entitled, quote, "We are planted here, rooted in sacred land. All our dead are buried here, they must, for this where they spring from, Ting Lion Mountain. When one of our people drowns in the river and his body is carried downstream, why do we go all the way to the sea to bring back the bones of our people? Because the dead belong to their roots. They must come back to us, our mountains. Otherwise, their spirits will not find peace, and they will come back to haunt us. Now we are asked to allow our dead to be covered by the waters of the Chico River Dam. This is an impossible request. Separated from our dead, we will die. Our spirit and those of our ancestors are within this mountain place. We may as well remain here and drown in the same waters that will wipe them out forever and drown our land. The government assures us it will spare no effort nor expense to disinter the dead, to remove their remains to new and better sites. The government does not understand the very land we live on, our mountains, is the dust of our fathers. The president assures us that the government will recompense us double whatever we lose in the destruction of our fields, our forests, our villages. Perhaps it will and can. But our Yucali, our culture and spirituality, this cannot be replaced. And its loss will be our death as a people. We are steeped in this tradition, from the soles of our feet to the crowns of our head. Essential to our Yucali, our Papatayan, our sacred forests. These cannot be transferred with us to the new relocation sites that the government speaks of. Will we leave our Yucali? No. We will not leave our mountain, our forest, our land. We will fight against the dam project.
Statement of resistance to the proposed World Bank Chico River Dam by the Mountain Kalinga tribal people. I had the honor to live with and assist in fighting against this so-called Philippine Development Project. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. Please listen next week for Program 5 of our special Smart Meme Story interview series. Yacht Kitishi Native Center encourages listeners to learn more about international finance and trade issues, such as the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and World Trade Organization, as was focused on in today's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Fighting against economic globalization in order to help create a better world for all is all of our responsibilities. Please visit Mobilization for Global Justice's website, www.mgj.org, for more information. We shall conclude today's program with a song by Diné Navajo singer-songwriter Red Mia Cody off her Kenyan record CD entitled Spirit of a Woman. The name of the song is Prayer to the Creator. Thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Presker. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin to all of our relations.
Kuto, hoizon to les kota, shidigin shihonaloni, ne yajinishle, ne awetnishle, nsade hoseli shidigin. Nich e, dinish e, do, na inish ligo, adishne.
Ta al swa, hadin la. A yo o o ne, be in la. Dishche, nzil be, sitzil do. Dishche, nsekhes, shin sekhes do. Dishche, ninahat a, shinahat a do. Ina, yishlelko, si hasen, be anst edo. Yenil, will ye, sits aja, queen sendo. Na ye, edad e, sits aja, queen sendo. Nihoka ne, ta altro, bislachit de nesh nado. Sit sije, hojo, shikede, hojo. Shiyage, hojo. Shikike, hojo. Shinade, hojo. Shizede, ha hojo.
Hojo na hastli, hojo na hastli, hojo na hastli, hojo na hastli.